Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas keeps you informed about all the products and people in the food industry. Friends, fun, music, news, and of course, food. Now pull yourselves up to the kitchen table with our hosts, Frank Price and Kerry Ingalls.
Welcome to another Brilliant Ideas radio show. I am Frank, a.k.a. Grill, the bacon lover, and that is Kerry over there on the other microphone. Hello, Kerry.
Hello, Frank. How are you today?
Ah, I am busy, but the show must go on. So what are you doing over in Seattle? Are you keeping everybody straight on the West Coast?
We are. We're enjoying the sunshine today. We've had a few days of rain, and we're looking forward to a few more.
There you go. Well, we are back for another show about food, music, food news, whatever else happens to happen along the way. And I'm excited about our guest for the show this week. Bridget Purdy was on my podcast, I think, three times prior, and this will be the first time she's on the AM station in Memphis, Tennessee, and I've always loved her music, and she's a blues lady that will knock your socks off when it comes to the blues music, and I thought it was good for her to come on and find out. I don't know the last time that I've actually talked with Bridget, but it's been quite a while, because I think we had a hiatus for about a year on our podcast, and here we are on AM Memphis Radio, and welcome to the show, Bridget. Glad to have you along.
Hey, it feels like a homecoming. Thank you for having me on.
Say hello to Kerry.
Hello, Kerry. How are you, Kerry?
I'm doing so good. It's good to have you.
Now, where are you guys at in Memphis? I love Memphis.
Well,
I just did a show here in May.
Actually, it's the secret and the mystery of radio. Actually, Kerry are you south or west of Seattle? Is that right, Kerry?
I'm southeast of Seattle.
Yeah, she's southeast of Seattle, and I'm actually in Maryland. But you know, with the magic of radio and syndication and all the stuff that goes on, we are actually on a Memphis station because they decided to bring us on. God only knows why. But, yeah, we're actually in Memphis. This is where it's broadcast on Saturdays. And then the replays for the show is like it used to be on the podcast. We actually have a replays through our podcast system. But, yeah, we're actually, believe it or not, Bridget, we're on Real Radio.
Awesome. What's the Real Radio station's name? Let's give that a plug.
Well, we should give it a plug. So, you want to give it a plug there, Kerry? We actually never do we?
We don't. We never give the station a plug. We should probably do that.
Yes, we should. But we are WKBL in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's AM radio. What is the call letter? 1350? I believe I should know this.
It's 1250 AM WKBL.
1250 AM. So there you go. Now, see, you caught me off guard. I don't even know because we what the call letters are. Now I'm going to get shot. Thank you very much, Bridget.
Hey, I'm just trying to do my part.
Ah, that's sad. I don't even know. But we were picked up in the syndication and just recorded and played in the Memphis area. But no, welcome to the show. I'm trying to think. It had to be 2 years ago that we talked?
Maybe. I mean, a lot has happened since, 2 years ago. Like I said, that I just did a show in Memphis at the Hollerand. So all you Memphis people out there that came out to my show, I just had so much joy reconnecting with my Memphis people. You know, that's where the real stuff is. That's where the grease and the soul and the love, I tell you, and the great barbecue. Since this is, you know, brilliant ideas, you have to go to Neely's, Gus's, get yourself some checkerboard pie. You know, good food and good music in Memphis.
It is. I mean, they're trying to get with the actual radio station network that we're on. We're trying to get more going on in the Memphis area through MVP3 Studios. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but that's what our radio broadcast is part of MB3, which is actually a new entertainment complex there in Memphis. And so when were you actually in Memphis? Just recently?
This year in May at the Hollerin Theater for a show entitled The Birth of Soul, my song Lucille Don't You Weep, which is a tribute to B.B. King, is in a documentary about the Paradise Club, which many, many well-known artists came through that club and came up. Tina Turner, Aretha Franklin, geez, B.B. King, you know, Buddy Guy, and just so many. And so it was a great honor to be paid tribute to some of the legends that I love in the blues genre. And it was a hoot. It was a real hoot. I performed my new song that was out during that time entitled Memphis Hotline. And, of course, Lucille Don't You Weep. Yeah, and Bobby Rush. I was the headliner on that show on one of the evenings, and Bobby Rush was also the headliner.
Wow, I did not know this. Well, what we're going to do on the show is I want to introduce the Memphis crowd to your music. Those are people who may not know you, maybe they were lucky enough to be at that show, and you said it was in May, and you've got some new music you're coming out with. But before we go to the new music, you know, I told you I've got to play my favorite song that you have. It makes my bacon sizzle, as we have said in the past.
That is too funny. That I love that line. I'm gonna have to put that in my bio as a description of my vocals.
But I gotta play the song because it's just, you tear this song up. Like, I mean, everybody knows the song I Just Want to Make Love to You, but you take it to a level that, like I said, it just makes that bacon sizzle. So everybody listening in, this is Bridget Purdy, and the song, of course, is I Just Want to Make Love to You, and you better grab your socks because it's gonna knock your socks off. So hang on, everybody, here we go.
Just win.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here barefooted now. You knock my socks off. That song does it to me every time, Carrie. I mean, is it amazing or what?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, all you got to do is sing that song to me, and you got me. You tied around your little finger. Okay, so what have you been doing for the last year and a half or so since we were last on the show?
You know, pre-pandemic, you know, because everybody's been hankered down somewhat, you know, I actually, you know, did quite some extensive touring all over, you know, and in Florida, Seattle, Mexico, D.C. I've just been everywhere working, and it's been a joy. I've been well received in these different areas, and putting out new music. I've just released a couple new singles. I released another single, which I'll have to get to you, entitled Time for Love. And that hit number one on the Roots and Music Report under the blues rock category.
Oh, wow.
And I was, I was hanging tight up there with ZZ Top and the Black Keys and Bridget Purdy.
Wow. Now this new song that you sent to me, is that an upcoming CD, or is that just released last week, right?
That I just released it on October 1st, and so it's fresh out the gate. And I can't thank you enough for playing it, because, you know, all of these spins are what help us artists, you know, stay out there and keep the motor running, as we say. So, you know, just released it. It's entitled Styling, and I'm enjoying releasing some singles right now because, you know, I feel that there's a big need for new music to be able to touch people's hearts and souls. And so by kind of giving everybody just kind of like a little dose at a time, I feel like I'm putting those healing vibes and energy back into the air and the earth that we all need so much. And I sat down with Dave Oste, who I collaborate and write with, and I told him, you know, the world is a downer. And
yep.
I don't want to put another downer. I do not want to put a downer on a downer. And so this new song, can you feel me?
Yes, I feel you. Because, I mean, I said it last week, and that's kind of my slogan now. Everybody's sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time that we get some positive things going on in the world, because I've heard too much negative for the last 2 years.
Exactly. It is. And, you know, I've just come to the realization that I can't look back. I can only look forward. I can't pretend that things are going to be the way they were. It is what it is now. And I have to accept and love on that the way it is.
I agree. So you know what we should do? That we should play Styling. Now, is it available now on CD Baby or any other places?
It is. It's on all the platforms, and also you can contact me on my website, which is BRIGITTE PURDY.net. And
Well, I think it's time for everybody to hear your new music, since you just launched it just October 1st. So this is Bridget Purdy. The song is Styling, and what we're going to do is, after we play the new song, we're going to play a little bit more. If you don't mind, through the rest of the show, I'm going to throw in some of your older songs that I've had in my archives, but we're going to play the new stuff now, which is Styling. So everybody hang tight, and this is Bridget Purdy. And there you go. That's Bridget Purdy and her new song, Stylin', and I already feel better right now after listening to that music. Who in the heck is playing that harmonica in the background? They're tearing that up.
Oh, my gosh. Is that not fabulous?
Yeah.
That is Tex. That's Tex Nakamura, and he is also in the band War.
Okay. Wow. Good stuff. Really good.
Do you remember War? Do you remember the band War?
Believe it or not, I do remember War. I mean, I'm old enough to probably know a lot more than you think I do. yes, I do. So now, if people want to find the new music and the old, they can go to your website, but they can also go to all the, I don't even know all the names anymore. There's so many of them, but they can find all your singles throughout, and they can buy these by singles. Is there an actual CD that you're coming out with, or are these all being done as singles?
These are all singles right now. You know, we're living in a virtual world, so they're all singles. So they can purchase them virtually, yes.
Okay. So tell me where are you going to be? You said you've been touring. Are you going to be doing some more tours in the upcoming next couple of months?
Like most musicians, a lot of stuff has been, you know, canceled and then re-put on. So, you know, we just have to see what happens between, you know, I was supposed to see Buddy Guy and the show he had canceled. And then a friend of mine, which I won't say because it's a huge band, and I'll keep it confidential. He was supposed to come out to California. And 7 out of the 10 members had tested positive for COVID. That's just it is what it is right now.
Yeah, and it's still around. It's, you know, there for a while. I thought we were getting away from it, but it still seems to be hanging. And I've got several friends myself who have it right now that are positive, and it's just it's that new Delta variant. I do have a question. So, like, when you're out there, I lost my connection there. When you're out there singing, you don't have to wear a mask when you're singing, do you?
No, I don't wear a mask. But you know. Us singers, we're directly on the mic, and so I need to have my own mic. It needs to be cleaned frequently. You know, there are certain COVID standards that I have to make sure are set forth for myself and the band and for the audience in order to maintain a certain amount of safety.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know early on I was talking to a couple of singers and they had to wear a mask when they were actually up on stage. And I was wondering if that still had to happen. So right now you don't really have anything planned. Is everything's kind of a wait and see situation because of what's going on?
Well, I mean, I've had offers to go to Chicago and different places and Minnesota and all that. And, you know, we just have to see what happens down the line, you know?
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned a minute ago about the song that you did. It was basically, it's an old song that you did, but Lucille, Don't You Weep, is a song I'll play up. Uh-huh. I know you're under a tight schedule, but you want to tell people kind of what the background is on that actual song? You told me that in a podcast a while back.
I have a great love for B.B. King, and when he passed, I was scrolling down through my social media, and it was a day that it wasn't on shutdown. Just teasing you. There were so many people that, you know, were writing so many heartfelt things, and I thought to myself, what if Lucille was a real live woman? What would she say? And so I started writing Lucille, Don't You Weep with Dave Oste and Greg Shining. And I started thinking about the personification of her being a real woman and making the connection between her and a guitar. And so the first lines of that song are, wrap your arms around me, fingers running up and down my neck. You made me feel like a real live woman. Lucille, don't you weep. And,
you know what, I'm turned on. I'm actually turned on. You know, I've actually never paid attention to those lyrics, but now I'm turned on.
We go from sizzling bacon to...
Yeah, really. The way you just did that, it's like, wow. I know you're under a tight schedule and have to go, but what we'll do is we'll play Lucille, Don't You Weep, and then through the rest of the show, I'm going to sneak in some of your songs through our food news and for the next 2 hours. But is there anything you would like to add? I want to say your website again. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
My website. I'd love to chat with you all. If you write me on my website, I do write back personally. I like direct contact with my fans and music followers. So it's Bridgette, Bridgette, Purdy, Purdy.net. And then I just want to say I love you all. Be safe. You know, take care of yourselves and your loved ones. There's no greater time than now to love somebody good.
Amen to that. Fantastic. I'm going to play your song, Lucille, Don't You Weep. You know you're always welcome. And you said you had some other new music you want to send to me. Just forward it to
Absolutely.
Me, and I will play your music on here, and we'll do some promos and try to get some more people going your way to buy some more of your singles. And when things get back to normal, if they ever do, keep us posted mm-hmm. on where you're going to be and what's happening, and we'll keep people posted on where they can find you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. You all have a
Thank
real
you.
Nice evening, okay? All right. Uh-huh. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Here we go, guys.
Bye-bye.
This is Lucille, Don't You Weep. And thank you for Bridgette for being on the show. And we'll be right back after this quick break of a song. Wow, Carrie, I'm not going to be able to do the show, the rest of the show, for another hour and a half. I'm turned on.
I'm here to give you a gentle reminder. This is a morning AM family show, Frank Price.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Okay. I do. I don't know. Have you noticed? I really like her music. It's just something about Richard singing songs. It's like, it's seductive. It, like I said, it makes my bacon fry. Wow. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Bridget Purdy, check her out on her website. She also has a Facebook page that it's under her name, too, and you can check her out on Facebook. It's Brigitte Purdy, Purdy. I really like her music, but I appreciate her taking time to be on the show. She was on a really, really, really tight schedule. That is the fastest interview I think I've ever given in my life. And it felt like I was running a race trying to get music in and talk to her at the same time. Could you tell?
Yeah, but the beauty of it is we still have an hour and a half of music that we can listen to, right?
Yes, that's the nice part. I do have a whole bunch of her music here that I'm going to play throughout the show. And by the way, I have to redeem myself. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe. You know, when you're old, you have those moments of senile moments, and I couldn't remember call letters. I couldn't remember anything. So it's 12:50 a.m. WKBL in Memphis. So I just want to make sure I get that straight. I can't believe I screwed that up. But anyway, thanks for saving me, Carrie. Wow. Anyway, if you would like to be on the show as a singer, musical artist, we are always looking for talent. Our goal is to at least once a month have someone on the show that you may have never heard of before. There are so many talented people out there, and I've said this on numerous occasions, but in the 10 years I did my podcast, I met so many people that, I mean, they could be headliners at anywhere in Vegas or any of the big venues, but it's such a competitive world. But there's an example, Bridget Purdy, she's doing well, and she's getting, as you could hear, things are moving along really well for her, but it's so many people out there that never get a chance. So maybe, Carrie, we can do a little bit of something here for people along the way, and we plan on, once a month, if you are in the music world, you want to get on the show, you can contact us on grillianideasradio.com. Go to the contact tab and send us details about your music. And if we like it, which we're not too picky, but if we like it, we're always looking for guests too. But no, if we think it's something that people need to hear about, we will talk to you further and see about having you on the show. So this is a food show, and we'll call music is just food for the ears. How about that, Carrie?
There we go.
There you go.
Nourishment, it is kind of, yeah.
It is. I mean, it makes you feel good and other things too, as you can tell.
thankfully, I can't tell. I can just sit here listening, not looking.
I should stop. Okay. Yes, I forget that we record this at night, but it's played at, 9 o'clock in the morning. So calm down. Okay. It is food news time. And each week, if you've never joined us before, we try to bring you up to date on the latest food news, current events, and put our little spin on the commentary about the news. And I have a few stories here that I think you will find interesting, and I hope you find interesting, because if not, I don't know what else to do, but here we go. All right, you ready, Carrie?
I am. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the world right now.
Yes, it is.
In the food world, okay. Yeah.
Yes, it is. All right, the number one story, I'm skipping around here tonight, by the way, so it may not go in order, Carrie, because I have ADHD, so you never know what I'm going to do. But
alrighty.
The first story that we have is McDonald's Corporation has set a new target to cut global greenhouse emissions to net zero by 2050, from the beef in their burgers to the light bulbs in their restaurants. So let's see. So in the next, 29 years, they're planning on to getting to net zero. I don't know a lot about this gas emissions thing, greenhouse gas emissions thing, and I know it has to do with carbon footprints and what have you, but what if they don't make the goal in 2050? Is the world going to come to an end? I don't know. What do you think about the gas emissions, global greenhouse net zero, Carrie?
I honestly don't know if it's a realistic, if it's a realistic number. I don't know if we're going to be able to do what they say that we're going to be able to do by 2050.
And I'm not going to get into the politics of this, but I just read an article 2 days ago about electric cars. And the background noise of all this is it's all good and trying to save the world and Green Earth and Earth Day and all that stuff. But there's not an infrastructure there. In other words, if we all decided to start driving electric cars tomorrow, there's not enough electricity out there to make that happen. So there's a lot of other things that are involved. It all sounds good and it gives you a warm and fuzzy, but there's a lot of things that are in the background. And I'm with you. I'm not sure we can truly do it. I guess every move away from whatever the carbon footprint and making things better for the world is good, but I just don't know these goals. Now, 2050, 29 years from now, I may not be around. 29
well,
years
I'll
from
be
now,
around.
Maybe. I may not be though. I'll be 90
I'll be
years old.
There's a lot that can happen in 29. I mean, look back, go backwards 29 years. There's a lot that can happen. There's a lot that can happen in 10 years.
True. In 2 years, for that matter, look what's happened the last 2 years with COVID and all that craziness. So I've come to the conclusion you can't plan anything anymore. It just sort of, you just like fly by the seat of your pants and whatever happens, happens. But anyway, McDonald's has a goal. They've set a target to cut global greenhouse gas emissions to net zero by 2050. Okay, let's see here. Let's jump around here. Restaurant owners. Okay, this is kind of an interesting story. Now, I'm seeing a lot of that even locally. Restaurant owners are pushing communities across the country to have outdoor dining structures zoned for permanent use. I assume it's the same way out your way. All the restaurants have set up these temporary eating arrangements outside on the streets and what have you with the little tents and stuff. Is it the same way out there in Washington?
Yes, it is.
Well, they're trying to make it an ongoing permanent thing, which I kind of like the idea, sitting outside and eating, except in bad weather. But, of course, there are some that oppose these efforts because they reduce parking and disrupt non-restaurant businesses. So there's a battle going on between the restaurant owners who are trying to survive and take care of their customers in the outside arena, and there are those who don't like them blocking the streets, what have you. I kind of like it. I mean, to me, the open air, it kind of reminds me of things I've seen in the movies, like France, those kind of places. Don't they have a lot of outside dining areas in the movies where the people are eating outside? So I kind of like it, but they're all pushing for a permanent situation and trying to get the zoning and all. Who knows what's going to happen, but I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea, too.
It is a good idea. That's reported by the CNBC. In fact, I was recently at a restaurant that had nothing but they just basically closed their whole indoor restaurant and had set up everything on the outside. And they just said it was just there's too many rules nowadays for them to try to have patrons on the inside with the mask rules and the – and I guess – if I'm not mistaken, if you have it outside, do you still have to ask for a vaccination card? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, things are changing here pretty quickly in the Seattle area in different counties. You're not allowed to dine in a restaurant without being vaccinated. I don't know if that's applicable for outdoors or not?
That's something I got to find out. I'll have to ask some of my restaurant friends, if a person comes up and they're eating outside, do they have to follow the same rules? I'm not really sure. But I would think there's got to be different rules for outside, because, you know, you look at football games and outside events and things. I don't think they're pushing people to have the vaccine anyway. I like the idea, so they're trying to push that more to be a permanent type thing. Moving along. Food stamps. Now, this is very interesting. Food stamps are set for a historic boost in October, as the 42 million Americans who collect them will see an average boost of 27% on their benefits, which I guess that's all tied to, you know, my favorite subject about prices going up and inflation and what have you. But food stamps are going to be, they're going to be actually giving benefits, increasing them up to 27% more than what they have been getting in the past. The increase is the largest in history of the food program, and it's replacing a 15% boost to the SNAP benefits directed under the American Rescue Plan, which expired on September 30th. So that is good news for the people that are on food stamps. Because I've been wondering about that, because if you're getting food stamps and the price of food has been going up, you're, of course, going to get less for the amount of money being spent. So for those that are collecting food stamps, you're getting ready to get an increase. So I guess you want to call it a raise of 27%, which, okay, this is what this tells me, Carrie. I always think outside the box. It tells me that the government realizes that our inflation going to go crazy. I mean, they're already anticipating it by increasing food stamps by 27%. So I keep saying that the inflation's a lot bigger, and I see it in the business I'm in, but somebody knows something that we don't know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Somebody knows something that we don't know, because that is a huge increase.
Right. We all know it, but obviously they're planning for it. Put it that way. All right. Famine. This amazed me, because you and I talk about seafood a lot on this show. And, you know, Alaska is known for their king salmon. But surprisingly, both king salmon and what's called chum salmon species have all but disappeared from Alaska's Yukon River this year. And it's prompting the state to shut down salmon fishing on the rivers in an effort to save them. More than half a dozen Alaska Native groups have petitioned for the federal government aid and want the state's federal delegation to hold a hearing on the salmon crisis. So I didn't realize it was this bad, but I guess they're right now the salmon in Alaska are disappearing. And I keep asking myself, why? Does it have to do with the – are they having drought in Alaska? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We're kind of facing the same thing here in Washington. And, you know, it largely reflects the continued low runs of some wild Chinook and coho stock as well, especially in the Puget Sound. We're having some big trouble. And, of course, it's not just the fishermen here, you know, that go out. We have a lot of native groups that are allowed to fish. I think, I could be wrong, but that fish before the sportsmen.
Okay.
So I don't know how that's going to. I know that we have low returns this year. I don't know how they allocate, you know, what the different tribes can fish, and then how the sportsmen fish, and then of course. I believe that the tribes have kind of first dibs on everything, and then we have the sportsmen, and then we have, of course, commercial. And I assume, since we are kind of in the same area as Alaska, that we're gonna run along the same troubles, or, you know, whether we have trouble or whether things are great.
Well, the part that seems odd to me, and maybe it's all weather related and the global warming, or whatever you want to call it, maybe it has something to do with it. But I don't think I've ever in my lifetime heard there being – I mean, I know that there's been conservation that's been going on in states like California, Washington, and Alaska and Oregon, et cetera. But I'm just surprised that they're literally saying that king salmon species has almost disappeared. So is it because of the weather or is it because of overfishing? It's kind of crazy.
I don't know if it's overfishing or if it's because of the water. You know, because we haven't had any rain. I mean, all of our rivers are extremely low this year.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, only word I've got for that, and you and I talked about this weeks ago, the only word I've got for that is aquaculture. I still believe those companies that are doing the land-based seafood, raising shrimp and salmon and other things in a landlocked area and pools and these special aquaculture setups for these things, that is the wave of the future, because it's obvious that the natural way seems to be failing now. And I think more, there's an article I've got here in this group of news stories here that I think more and more people are eating seafood, and that has to have something to do with it too, because, you know, seafood is more healthy than some other meals that you eat. So that could have something to do with it also. Mm-hmm. But aquaculture. I've been investing in some that are, they're basically penny stocks, and I'll probably lose every dime, but oh well. I think that's the wave of the future, but do not take any investment advice from me. I'm usually wrong. But anyway, there's an issue out there right now with the salmon. So I guess they're looking into it to find out what they're going to do about it. I mean, even here on the Chesapeake Bay, rockfish or stripers is what they call them, they had to put a moratorium on again this year and limit the amount of fishing because it's just not finding the fish like they used to. And blue crabs, which Maryland is famous for. The Maryland blue crab really has not been around that much this year, and the prices have remained extremely high because of supply and demand. So there's something definitely going on with all the different food sources from sea to shining sea.
Well, it also has to do with our rivers. You know, we're getting more rain than we are snow. So the water, our rivers, they're not as clean and they're not as warm. I mean, they're not as cool anymore for our salmon. Salmon cannot survive as the water warms up.
True.
Yeah.
Well, it's not good news, but I guess somebody's better figure it out. Somebody's got a higher pay grade than me. Okay. Moving along here. This is kind of an interesting twist on the world. Foodborne illnesses, infections, have decreased by nearly a quarter in the year 2020 versus years before, actually compared to the last three-year average, according to the CDC. Campylobacter was the most common foodborne illness. 14.4 people out of 100,000 people in the population had gotten it, followed by Salmonella at 13.3, and then an E. coli infection of 3.6. But you know it's got to be related to the fact that nobody was going out to eat during COVID. So I guess that's the good news about all this. Because of COVID, all these foodborne illnesses have dropped down dramatically and decreased by a quarter in the year 2020. So there's a silver lining. I feel like I'm always talking about bad news on food news, but there seems to be so much of it now. But there's the good news. There's less foodborne illnesses now.
There we go.
And by the way, I had food poisoning once, and I don't want to ever have it again. Not fun. And I cooked the food, too. It was me that did it.
Oh, my gosh.
I undercooked some food. But that's a whole other story. Okay. Moving along here. Have you heard of 800 degrees pizza?
I have not.
I hadn't either. 800 degrees pizza is set, and here's that famous word, Carrie, is set to open 500 ghost kitchens with reef. Now, I didn't have a chance to read the whole article, It's part of a major growth push for the pizza chain, which is also planning to launch thousands of robotic pizza kiosks throughout the country. Where have I been? I've never heard of 800 degree pizza. It's not in my area. It's not out your area, but it must be the new thing. But did we ever settle that, what a ghost kitchen really is? Everybody's using ghost kitchen now. That's the big buzzword.
It's a restaurant without a dining space. So it sounds to me like, they fill online food delivery orders without, you know, and they use third-party apps like Grubhub, Uber Eats, and DoorDash, but no real visible storefront.
So hasn't Pizza Hut been doing ghost kitchens all these years?
Yeah, so they just – ghost kitchens is obviously a new term for just takeout and delivery. Just something to make it sound a little cooler. I think that where Grubhub and all of these third-party apps went after, deliver from already established places that actually have mostly in-house dining, these other places have just kind of adapted during the pandemic. And, hey, let's just share a commercial kitchen with somebody else, which I think is basically what they do. It's a large commercial kitchen or commissary space, and they have their little area and their little brand, and then they use a third-party app. So it's just kind of a little bit more of an evolutionary process into something new that is obviously keeps expenses way down. But
well,
it's not really new. It's just a new term and maybe a new little way of doing it, but not really new.
Right. It's like you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's like food court / Domino's / maybe even a Subway to a certain extent. They do have a sit-down area, but not very much. But it's like renaming something that we've all done. It's just a cool way of presenting it now called ghost kitchens.
That's right.
Well, anyway, 800 Degrees Pizza, whoever they are, is set to open 500 more ghost kitchens throughout the country. And I got to look them up and find out where the heck they are. When I read the article, I'm like, well, who the heck is 800 Degrees Pizza? I bet you they got their name because maybe when it comes out of the oven, it's 800 degrees, you think?
I'm going to look it up. I'll tell you where they're at.
Oh, you're looking it up? Yeah, where are they?
I am. So it says it's a wood-fired kitchen.
Okay. It's like a brick oven, but it's wood fired.
That's what it says. It says wood fired. Select location to view menu. I mean, it looks really tasty. It looks like they have other foods as well. Hope to see you soon at one of our locations on the East Coast, West Coast, and overseas. So they're going to be in Miami, New York, North Carolina, Santa Monica, Hollywood, LAX, Westwood. Oh, so they're in Chicago, Cleveland, Tokyo, Singapore. There we are.
I'll have to check that out and see if they're on the stock exchange. I really had never heard of them until I read this article. But what caught my eye was this 500 ghost kitchens. It says 500 ghost kitchens with reef.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, my first thought was like, are they going to be serving pizzas like in the ocean? But I have a feeling reef must be the name of a company, I assume. And, I should do further research.
They have sandwiches and pizza, dessert, cookies.
Yeah,
they got a lot of stuff going on here.
Does it show anything on the website about their robotic pizza kiosks?
I haven't seen that yet. I see that they do game day catering and office catering. So what did you call it?
They'll be launching thousands of robotic pizza kiosks.
Huh, interesting. I don't see that yet. It says you can start a franchise.
I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, moving along here. That's the sad part about rushing into a show and trying to throw together food news before the show and you haven't had time to research it, so you just, go with it.
That's right. I'll keep looking them up while you're talking.
All right. Yeah, that's why you're there. You're like the Google woman. Whenever I say stuff that I have no clue what I'm talking about, you could be over there Googling away. Which that means you're going to be busy because I never know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's funny. Thank God we only meet once a week.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go to the next story. Now I'm going to mispronounce this word as usual. FENCHOL, Finchol, I think is how you say
Finchol,
it.
That's new.
Yep, it's a natural compound abundant in some plants, including basil. And they have found in recent tests that it can help protect the brain against Alzheimer's disease. According to a preclinical study led by the University of South Florida Health, and it's recently reported by MedicalExpress.com, we're finding out, the last few weeks we've had stories about different things that affect issues with the brain when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia and things. And a lot of it is very much food related. I think last week I talked about spinach. Spinach is supposed to be extremely good for you for some of the same reasons. Now this particular Finchol, a natural compound, is in basil. So I've always said I've always thought that the Alzheimer's was caused by something we're eating and something in our diet. Well, there's other things that will offset the issues, such as this Finchol and other things. So interesting studies going along. There's a lot of people that are having dementia and Alzheimer's because it's caused by the plaque in their brain, and I know there's a lot of studies that are going on, but it looks like food and the type of diet that you have has a lot to do with it. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you're not into basil, it's also found in hemp and plants like lime, nutmeg, sweet basil, and wild celery.
There you go. There's Miss Google over there finding out more.
That's right. That's right.
Really? So I had never heard of Finchol. Have you? Had you?
Well, I haven't. I eat the food. I don't look into it and tear it apart. But I completely agree with you as far, what you're saying, because food is medicine. What you put into your bodies is really important.
Yep, you are what you eat. That's what they said when I was a kid, and it's true.
You're bacon.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to play a couple of Bridget Purdy songs. One of them is called Hoodoo. And the other one's called Still I Rise. And we're going to take a break here for about 7 or 8 minutes. And we'll come back and do some more food news. So everybody hang tight. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Looking at my high dress. saw the terror in their eyes. I heard the distant voices cry. I felt the heartbeats everywhere start to die. Still I rise. Still I rise. If only people felt inside that some may have and some deny, and the sun looks the same on all sides of the world.
And there you go. Boom, boom. Another song, a couple songs from Bridget Purdy. Yep, she's got me hooked. All right. Moving on. Check her out on her Facebook and also on her website. We thank her again for being on the show. All right. Let's see here. Carrie, let's talk about some more food news.
Okay.
Let me see. What do I want to talk about now? Okay. How about this one? You know I love to talk about fake food every week, right?
Yes, you do.
Well, well, Burger King will be testing Impossible Foods meatless nuggets in several markets. I think it starts next week, making it the first fast food chain to offer Impossible Foods' new chicken alternative. Let's see, starting next week. Starting Monday, customers in Des Moines, Iowa, Boston, and Miami will be able to try the new plant-based Impossible Nuggets. So, yum, yum. That's
yum,
reported
yum.
By CNBC. So, run out to Burger King there, Carrie. And oh, you're actually, it's not going to be in your area. Never mind. But it eventually will be. But you'll be able to get some good old meatless nugget. I know. I got to stop talking about these stories because I don't want. I read today that 30% of the top restaurants and fast food companies out there are testing offering now meatless products. So it is the thing of the future. Even though it doesn't matter how much I complain, they're doing it. And I guess there's a market for it. So,
well, if chicken is going to continue being short in some of our fast food restaurants, this may be the only way people are going to get their nuggets.
No, I'll just skip nuggets then. Oh, well, I know. You always tell me there's somebody out there who wants it. But I'm gonna go on a tangent, which is not unusual. So,
okay.
Do you really believe that the people who are vegetarians? Now, I know some people do it because of diets or allergies or whatever. I'm one of them. I can't eat beef. But do you believe that the vegetarians that are out there are still going to go running to McDonald's and running to Burger King and running to IHOP and all these other places to get their fix on a meatless product? I just don't see those people doing that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think that you might be wrong. And the reason for that is if you have an entire household and, you know, some of you want to have your hamburger, but maybe one of your children or somebody else in your family says, I know I don't want to eat meat. This saves us from parents, especially from running into all these different restaurants. We can literally still feed our entire family from one restaurant.
Okay, that makes sense. And you did say that you have, is it your daughter who actually,
yep.
Is she vegan?
She does not eat meat very much, and neither does her partner. She does every once in a while, but her partner absolutely does not. He does not eat meat at all. So generally, I'm going to be going over there for dinner tonight, and I'm going to bring some stuff, and everything will be meatless.
Really?
So when you have an entire household, it's nice to be able to only make one stop that has something that everyone can enjoy.
So swing in to Burger King and pick up some meatless nuggets, and you'll be the hit of the dinner.
Yeah, and you know they probably will try it.
Yeah, I guess people will try something at least once.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay, I should stop. But it's a food news thing because it's popping up everywhere. And I honestly never thought that Burger King would be one of those that would go that route, but they proved me wrong. I mean, KFC's got it now, and they got the fake chicken.
Well, chicken, although people are running out of chicken. I mean, who was it? It was Popeyes. Is Popeyes the one that was hoarding it?
Yep, Popeyes was hoarding it because
everyone else was running out. Yeah. So they got to do something.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well. All right. The other topic, I love to talk about it, and I hit on it earlier about the pricing of things and the inflation and what have you, but industry analysis expect – no, that's not analysis. That's analyst. Industry analysts expect food prices – I'm having a conversation with myself over here. Did you notice?
I did.
Industry analysts expect food prices to continue to rise. Duh. The Department of Labor noted wholesale inflation, this is a big jump too, jumped 8.3% in August compared to August 2020, representing the largest gain ever on record. Industry analyst Phil Limpert said the increasing prices could continue for as long as year or year and a half. This is reported by CBS in Los Angeles. So I know I know you've been hearing me beat the drum, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Stock up, people. I just got a whole bunch of canned goods. Stock up on coffee. Stock up, because the prices are going up. And I'm not being a goofball. This is for real.
It is. And I even saw something even just on TikTok the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they said it's a minimum of 30% higher. You can look at price increases anywhere between 35 to almost 40%.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ooh, I gotta find a happy story. Is there a happy story in here?
Yeah, there's this huge thing, like right in the middle of the paper in very large print. This is the giant puffball mushroom is TikTok's latest viral food trend. Look at that. That looks happy.
That looks happy. Anything that says giant puffball has got to be happy, right? Yeah, I've seen these. I mean, I can remember. There's these mushrooms. TikTok has viral food trends, and right now the biggest TikTok story and trend is these giant puffball mushrooms. Have you ever seen any? I've seen them as a kid. They're about the size of a volleyball. Some of them are as big as a volleyball.
I haven't, but I would like to insert here that if everyone's going to go out looking for mushrooms, be really careful and know what you're doing before you eat it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the good thing about the puffball mushrooms, it does say there are no lookalikes. And these things are literally about the size, anywhere from a softball to the size of a volleyball. And I've seen them in the woods. And I would have never in my wildest dreams thought about eating them. But now it's like the big thing on TikTok. Their actual name is straight up called giant puffball mushrooms. And foragers, home cooks, chefs, and the environmentally curious alike are all taking and talking about them on TikTok. If you grew up near a woodsy area, you may recognize them right away, while others may be scratching their head at to the cartoon nature of it all. And they do. They look like, I don't know how to describe them. They're just giant puff. It looks like a giant puffball on the ground. And if you run over them with your lawnmower, it just turns into, like, smoke. But I have.
Oh, I know what you mean. We used to kick them when we were kids.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that's the one. You kick them and they explode. Yes, that's the one.
Uh-huh.
Well, giant puffball mushrooms has been gaining traction on TikTok due to the popularity of all these people foraging, and especially during COVID. And there's lots of people that are posting videos with their giant puffballs. And actually, there's a video on TikTok right now, and it's under the hashtag giant puffball. Has almost 7 million views. So people are really interested in these giant puffball mushrooms. Dr. Gordon Walker, a fungi phenologist, photographer, and ticker, said a giant puffball has the texture of a savory marshmallow. He recommends cooking it. What is katsu style? It says sliced thin and breaded and fried. So that's called katsu style. You heard of that?
I guess that would be katsu style, sliced thin, breaded, and fried. Like I said.
I keep laughing because you're right. As a kid, you see those things, you would kick them, and they would just, like, blow up when you kick them. And it looks like anywhere from, like I said, I've seen them as big as volleyballs or kickballs. So anyway, they say if you eat these, they're soft and they dissolve in your mouth. It doesn't have a whole lot of texture or flavor of its own, but it takes on the textures and flavors of whatever you cook it with. I wonder how they would taste wrapped in bacon.
It probably tastes like bacon.
It's like a bacon puffball.
That's right.
Yes. Giant puffball mushrooms can be found all over the country, but mostly in the Midwest from the summer until about October. They do have smaller cousins, but they aren't nearly as recognizable. You'll often find them on the forest floors where there's a lot of organic matter that's decaying. This particular guy who's the fungi expert, he's advising that you check out fields with grass that's thick that has a matter decaying underneath. Okay, so the good thing about puffball mushrooms is that they are easy to identify, and unlike other mushrooms, this is what you were talking about, Carrie, unlike other mushrooms, they don't have it look-alike. So that's the good news. You know, I mean, if you see them, and there's pictures online that you can check out on TikTok to see what they look like. But if you see one, you're going to know it. There's no poison version of this particular puffball. This guy says, I think that the size, the color, and everything about them looks like an alien to some people, but they're really fascinated with them, and a lot of people are trying them out. This lady named Gabrielle, who I guess she's a big puffball mushroom person, has posted several cooking recommendations for these volleyball-like fungi, including puffball curry, puffball pizza crust, and tofu. What the heck is a dupe? D-U-P-E. I know I've been called a dupe. What is a dupe? A tofu.
I don't know. A dupe.
Tofu
dupe. I thought you said duke.
Yeah, dupe, okay. D-U-P-E. They call them dupes. I heard of crepes, but I never heard of dupes. I wonder, are dupes in the crepes division? I don't know.
I am looking it up right now.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. I can hear you Googling right now.
I know. They look like They look like little squares. Can you hear my click, click, click?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Okay, I mean, why do they throw these weird names on things? What the heck is a dupe?
I don't know, because what it says here obviously is not what, you know. I mean, the picture that it shows me is such a little bowl, but I don't know.
I don't know. That's something. Folks, if you're interested, look up dupes. And they say that these little
Because what it says is a person who's easily deceived, but that we know.
Yeah, I've been called a dupe before by ex-wives, but I just never knew there was an item that you eat as a dupe.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of I'm looking it up, and there's a lot of different pictures. It looks like I don't know.
All right. Well, it's not that important, but I just wondered if it was a crepe and a dupe or the same thing. All right, moving along. Okay, you and I talked about this, I believe, about the different types of milk, like almond milk and, you know, just not the standard milks. And there's a milk that's called Oatly, O-A-T-L-Y.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically made out of oats. Now, I've never had it. Have you ever had Oatly?
I've not had Oatly, but I do have oat milk.
And how is oat milk? How do you like it?
I do. I mean, I don't drink it by itself. I put it in things like when I make a latte, I use oat milk instead of regular milk.
Okay. Well, I had never heard of this before, but Oatly has been storming the food industry. But they're running into supply problems because so many people like just Oatly milk. Actually, the sales have gone beyond their expectations. Unlike other milk alternatives, Oatly achieves dairy's creaminess without the usual cloying sweetness of offerings made with soy or almonds. They've seen a spark in rapid growth over the last year and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to read the rest of it, but I guess Starbucks has actually been that's an alternative, the type of milk you can put in your coffee, Oatly.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, from what I gather in this article, I've never had it myself, but the new hot thing in the alternative milk industry is this oat milk called Oatly. So according to Bloomberg, you should go try it out. It's supposed to be better than sliced bread.
So there's an article that says that they are having shortages and having trouble getting supplies, but they're telling everybody to go buy it?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay.
They're trying to keep up. All right. Let's see here. We were talking a little bit a while ago about salmon and fish, and I said I had another article about this, but one quarter of consumers are eating more fish and shellfish than they did a year ago, according to the 2021 Food and Health Survey from the International Food Information Council. The Fresh Seafood Department continues to post the largest grocery dollar gains across the U.S. multi-outlet markets, and it's up by 18.9% versus a year ago. That's a big jump, and 30.8% higher than 2 years ago. And this is reported by Food Technology Magazine in a survey that they recently did. And I've come to the conclusion that you and I have probably caused this to happen since we started our show. We always talking about seafood and how good it is for you.
Should we get some royalties and kickbacks?
Well, we should. People are eating more and more fish. I do too, actually. I used to eat maybe fish once, twice a month. I probably eat it at least once or twice a week then. It is good for you.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we're not going to have any soon, according to the story about Alaska, but that's another story.
Well, not wild. Not wild fish, but.
Yes. Aquaculture. Okay. Moving along. Okay. New York, San Francisco, and a few other U.S. cities and counties require restaurants to check proof of COVID-19 vaccinations. Oh, this answers my question from earlier. I forgot I had this article. To dine indoors, but some fast food chains are simply shutting their seating areas down altogether and moving everything to the outside or in through drive-thrus. So maybe that's the answer to my question earlier. If you do that, you don't have to have the vaccination card. Mm-hmm. So there you go. According to Reuters, and you know, they seem to know their stuff.
They do.
They do. All right, what time is it? Okay, we got 5 minutes before the next break. Let's see here. Talking about TikTok a little while ago and the giant puffball mushrooms being the new food trend.
Mm-hmm.
According to TikTok, 36% of TikTok users have visited or ordered food from a restaurant shown on their platform, and that the number jumps to 65% among TikTok content creators, according to somebody, MGH, whoever they are. More than half of those surveyed said that they wanted to visit restaurants they saw because the food looked appetizing and they saw a unique item by a TikToker. Okay, do you use TikTok?
I do. Absolutely.
And
it is so much more fun than Facebook or Instagram.
I agree. I do like TikTok. I probably have more fun. There's so many talented people out there. I've come to the conclusion that so many people out there just are undiscovered comedians. But I don't know if I've ever been influenced. I know there's people that are they call them too. They call influencers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've ever been like seeing somebody eating something at a restaurant and say, oh, I really got to have that based on a TikTok video. Have you?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone eating at a restaurant on TikTok. I think, you know, if it moves to your demographics, you know, to what it is that your likes. And I've never seen actually anyone eating at a restaurant on TikTok.
You know what? That's funny. You just said that. And that's a whole nother discussion. But I find it extremely creepy. You can start watching a type of video and mm-hmm. then every time you hit the forward button, you get similar videos that goes along with the same subject line that you were watching before. That's almost
yeah.
That's like they're reading your mind. They almost know what you're looking for somehow. But you're right. So I guess if you're one of those people who look at people eating in the restaurants, they're going to
yeah.
show you a lot more people eating in restaurants, or versus somebody who might be looking for politics or something else. But I wonder how they do that.
I don't know how they do that, but I think it's one of the greatest features that TikTok has, that it automatically adjusts to your interests, to what it is that you engage into. However long you spend on a TikTok, it's going to show you more of what you spend more time watching, and it's just I absolutely love that. I don't
yeah,
have to go searching.
Weird.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I know Facebook tries to limit you to the amount of people, a group of people, like 20 people you see all the time, which
mm-hmm.
I don't like, because you have to go like searching for people. It's like you think somebody has like either unfriended you or disappeared or died or something because you haven't seen them in ages, and all of a sudden you go look for them. Like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
But you're right. TikTok has a way of kind of they know where you're going, which is creepy all by itself, but. Interesting. So I guess people that are into watching people eat, they're being influenced. 36% of them are being influenced by TikTok users. I want to be one of those influencers. How can I, maybe I should start just showing nothing but bacon on my TikTok.
You can do that. You can get on there and show nothing but bacon. And pretty soon everybody's going to be moving to Frank Price to see what's going on in the bacon world.
Aren't you amazed by these people who have like 1.9 million followers and they can just say anything? They could just say celery sticks and they'll get like 38,000 likes. And what's that all about?
I absolutely love the fact that with TikTok, I mean, a person can literally create your own mini movie, your own mini television show. You can actually create something that millions of people are going to watch. It's, I mean, pretty soon we're not even going to need movie studios or anything like that. People are,
True.
they, They are making themselves, they're branding themselves into stars. It is an incredible time. I love watching what's happening out there, what the creators are doing.
It is really neat. We should probably maybe try to figure out how to convert some of our radio broadcasts into a TikTok. But you get 2 minutes. We could do like a food story on there. You know, I think is it 2 minutes or 3 minutes? You get 2 minutes, right?
It depends. I know when you start, you get a limited amount of time. I think I have on my TikTok, I have 3 minutes. I can do things in 3 minutes.
We'll have to check into that.
Yeah.
You can't do live until you have a certain amount of followers, which I've got a long ways to go to get there.
I don't think I want to do live anyway.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, have you watched some of those live, speaking of TikTok and live? I mean, some of these live people get on there and like they're getting ready for work and they're putting their makeup on and eating their breakfast. And there'd be like 38,000 people watching this person put their makeup on and eating their cereal.
It's crazy. It is. It's crazy.
I don't get it. Of course, hey, I'm one of the nuts that's watching too.
I've never watched anybody eat their breakfast.
I have. She was a good looking girl. She was putting on her makeup, getting ready for work, and she was eating some kind of cereal. I don't remember what kind of brand it was. I didn't really care at that time. But yeah, she's pouring the milk and eating her cereal, and I'm just sitting there watching away. It's like, then I realized after about 4 minutes, I'm like, what am I doing? Okay, we've got to take a break. Let's play some more of Bridget Pretty songs. Let's see here. Okay, I'm going to play her two songs, one of which is called Blues Collar Woman, and the other one is called, if I can see it, I can't see it on my screen. It'll be a surprise because I can't see it on my screen right now, but here we go. This is Bridget Pretty, Blues Collar Woman. We'll be back after a couple songs to talk some more food news.
From green, dirty ditches.
those wicked, wicked eyes. He tried to take my side away from me. Hold on tight, don't let darkness in.
And now, back to Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie.
Okay, we are back, and I do like her music. That was Bridget Purdy. Check out her Facebook page. Check out her website. If you missed the beginning of the show, go back and listen to the replay. Golly, she can sing. And I love that line in that last song. Is it ain't no right or wrong, just do what you do. That's what life's all about. Okay. Yes. Where were we? Two more food news stories, and then you can stop listening to my craziness, Carrie, and go. Ain't no right, ain't no wrong. Just do what you do. Okay. Amazon is working on a smart refrigerator that can order food for you. According to reports, this refrigerator called Project Plus will be able to track users' inventory and buying habits. Also, it will use artificial intelligence to predict what users want. This is kind of like TikTok. You find out, predict what users want and help users deliver to their door before they run out. It can also notify users when the food is about to be finished or near the expiration date, and may also include support for Alexa. This is crazy. What are we going to do in the future, Carrie? We just sit around and wait for the the trucks to show up and the robots and to take care of us, I guess?
Absolutely not. I don't care how much money I make. I will not be getting a refrigerator that does this for me. No. Absolutely not. We have to be able to do something for ourselves, for crying out loud.
We just sit around, and I have a robot, like one of those big giant feathers like they used to have in those Pharaoh-type movies, and I just have a robot that will like be fanning me with a giant feather and bringing me food out of my refrigerator. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some sources familiar with the project prove, what is that? I don't know what that means. Amazon is also considering adding other features to the smart refrigerator. Among them, we can mention dish recommendations that will help users consume food that is about to expire as soon as possible. So now it's going to give you some recipe ideas and things you can do with that spoiled milk in your refrigerator.
So you don't even have to use your brain at all.
No, just sit back and bring it to me. In addition, the source said that Amazon will not manufacture the smart refrigerators on its own. It is currently seeking cooperation with a home appliance manufacturer and has held high-level talks with multiple brands. The upcoming Amazon smart refrigerator will be very expensive, though. It will first target high-income households. Well, that cuts me out then. Never mind. Over time, the price of similar products should come down. Thus, in the near future, we can afford to buy products with the mentioned features above. Okay, well, however, the Amazon Smart Fridge could never reach the market if people don't put money into it. So far, they have invested $50 million per year. It doesn't say how many years they've been working on it, but they've been spending $50 million a year on the project so far. And as the company spokesman told Engadget, the company doesn't comment on rumors or speculation. So after all this, they're not saying if it's true or not.
It wouldn't even be there. It's probably on the drawing board. But, what does it say? The company does not comment on rumors and speculation. Of course it does. It's probably the one that put the release out there anyway.
Well, so we're going to be just sitting around doing nothing. We've got to have money.
I won't. I'm just going to tell me what to cook, what I can eat. No.
Well, just remember the Jetsons and Rosie. Rosie took care of meals. They could press a button and the meal would just come shooting out of that little door. So it's coming. I guess. All right. Switching gears, big time switching gears. Can dogs get food poisoning? I didn't know this, but the answer is yes, they can. We've gone from refrigerators to dogs getting food poisoning. What a segue. A company called Dodo, is it Dodo? I guess it's Dodo, D-O-D-O. A company spokesman for Dodo, her name is Lenora Harrison, practice manager at Lake Austin Boulevard Animal Hospital, to find out how to help your pup if he gets sick, and which foods are most likely to cause digestive issues. Which foods cause food poisoning in dogs? Most of the time, food poisoning symptoms in dogs aren't caused by actual tainted food, but rather by eating food, especially table scraps, that are inappropriate for puppies. For example, you might have felt guilty about your dog staring up at you from under the table. Yes, I do all the time. And snuck him a piece of cheese. Yes, I do all the time. But many dogs can't. Did you know this? That dogs can be lactose intolerant? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
However, like humans, dogs can also get food poisoning from spoiled food, Harrison explained. Garbage is a common cause. Well, that's no duh. If your dog likes to dumpster dive, for example, he could get into old food, raw or undercooked meat that's tainted with bacteria, or his food could be expired without you even realizing it. And it says it's very hard whether you can tell if a dog has had digestive issues. Well, I don't agree with that. Usually I know when my dog has digestive issues. All you got to do is follow your nose.
Okay.
But a lot of symptoms are similar to what people have too. Be careful. You should avoid these common foods that can cause sometimes serious digestive issues in dogs. And I have to say, I read this list and I'm an awful dog owner because I've given my dogs lots of this stuff. For example, well, I have never given them onions, garlic, and chives. Coffee, tea, and caffeine. I've given my dogs caffeine and coffee in the morning. You drink coffee a lot. You have cats though, right?
I do, and I found one of my cats was absolutely insane about coffee. And if I left it sitting someplace, he would drink it.
Well,
and I was a little worried when I first saw that because I thought, what were you doing 2 minutes before you were drinking my coffee? And how many times have you had your tongue in my coffee and I didn't know it and I picked it up and drank it? Probably 2 minutes after you've been cleaning yourself.
That's kind of my thought. How often had he been drinking out of your coffee cup?
That's right.
Now, I heard this, that chocolate is not good for dogs. And actually, I've heard it one time that chocolate can kill dogs, but don't give your dog chocolate.
Right.
Macadamia nuts. I laughed when I read that because they're so expensive. What fool is giving their dog macadamia nuts anyway? And here's another one. Corn on the cob. I can't even imagine handing the corn on the cob to my dog. Now, maybe they can sneak it off a plate, but don't feed your dog.
I don't know.
Avocado. Now, see, this is one that surprised me. When I lived in California, I had a hound dog. Believe it or not, basically a hunting dog, and we lived next to an avocado grove. That dog loved avocados. I mean, it was like 4, 5, 6 a day, and his coat, his hair on his back was like shine like you wouldn't believe. But he loved avocados. But it says avocados are not good for dogs.
Yeah.
Now, I should admit this on radio, but I will. Alcohol. Don't give your dog alcohol.
Yeah. What? Are you saying that you gave your dog alcohol? You got your dog drunk, Frank?
I say nothing, but I have given him a beer every once in a while.
Well, that's it. Then I heard it.
Okay. Now, this is one, too. Cooked bones or fat. I mean, my dogs get cooked bones like a ham bone that's been like simmering in the pot. I mean, I've given them that before. And of course, the pieces that you cut off when you're making soup or whatever, the fat, of course, they're sitting there wagging their tail wanting that. But you're not supposed to give it to them. grapes and raisins. Now, I can't ever remember giving my dogs grapes or raisins. Does your cat eat grapes or raisins?
No.
Dairy products like milk, cheese, and which I've given my dog cheese. Certain types of dog food, of course, can also cause digestive symptoms. There was a recall I just read last week of some dog food. I don't remember who the maker was, but it was causing dogs to get sick. It had too much vitamin D in it. Even the processed dog food that are out there, you got to be careful. Some dogs have genetic markers that cause them to be highly sensitive or have food allergies. Some breeds, like Maltese, Labradors, Golden Retrievers, Cocker Spaniels, Bull Terriers, Boxers, Brussels Griffon, Bichon Frise, and American Pit Bull Terriers do have some of these issues. Well, it's like they named every dog, didn't they? It says, what are the symptoms of food poisoning in your dog? According to Harrison, signs of food poisoning or other digestive problems can vary widely and generally include, of course, vomiting, diarrhea, nausea, panting, hypersalivation, dizziness, increased thirst, or urination. My dogs do all that all the time. Maybe it's because I'm giving them cheese. I don't know. Okay. And beer. The most common symptoms are vomiting and diarrhea, and they're likely to show up pretty soon after a dog eats food he shouldn't have eaten. I learn something every day. Okay. Depending on what your dog ate or how much he ate, the symptoms may vary in the type and severity. In severe cases, symptoms can cause seizures, tremors, or death, Harrison says. So it's important to know these symptoms and take action if your dog isn't acting like his usual happy self. And, of course, if you think your dog is sick, call the vet.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah. Pay attention to what your dog is eating. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I've always heard onions, grapes, that type of thing. You're not supposed to give your dog chocolate, of course. Coffee, I've never heard of anybody giving their dogs coffee. And I've never heard of anybody willingly giving their pet alcohol. So I'm a little concerned about you over there, Frank.
I have never heard anybody do that before either.
Oh, my God.
Who would do such a thing? Oh, my gosh. The guys around here with their hunting dogs, it's like let's go have a beer, and then they'll pour beer in their dog's bowl. That's like a common occurrence around here. Of course, you know, we play banjos too, but that's a whole nother story.
And you're the theme from Deliverance. It's playing.
All right, we're done with food news. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another show. You can hear replays if you like to. Who would want to come back and listen to this show with me? But, of course, you want to hear Bridget Pretty and her songs. But you,
that's
you
right.
Want to
you
want to
hear the music. Yeah.
That's right. And Carrie's the Google lady. So if you want to hear replays, I usually post them on late Saturday or Sunday at greatideasradio.com. The tab says replay. If you want to get more details about the stories we talk about, there is a blog tab on the website where you can see the stories that we talk about each week, and that's usually posted by Sunday. What else? There's a contact page there if you want to get in contact with us about being on the show as a guest, musical guest, what have you. Do you have anything else you want to add, Carrie, before we sign off?
Just please come back and listen to us next week.
Yes, I agree. So we're going to call it quits. I'm going to play another Bridget song and come back and see us next Saturday. Everyone have a nice week, and we will see you then.
Thanks for listening to Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie. Opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts and guests of this program are not necessarily shared by this station and are purely for entertainment purposes. Explore more about our show, the hosts, and, of course, the ideas at brilliantideasradio.com.